Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's Wednesday morning, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. The Roundtable panel is here, don't you know? We're joined today by Libby Post, Judy Patrick, and Alan Chartok. Good morning, all.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to have you here. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. If you want to weigh in at home or wherever you happen to be, roundtable@wamc.org. And we'll get right to it today. This expose from the New York Times, making news all over all the cable news networks and whatnot. It is by Michael Schwartz and Michael Weinrip, and the title, "After Two Killers Fled, New York Prisoners Say Beatings Were Next." And quoting here, "For days after the June prison break, corrections officers carried out what seemed like a campaign of retribution against dozens of Clinton inmates, particularly those on the honor block. An investigation by the New York Times found in letters reviewed by the Times, as well as prison interviews, inmates described a strikingly similar catalog of abuses, including being beaten while handcuffed, choked, and slammed against cell bars and walls." Alan, you're first.
Well, I shouldn't be first because I was talking to Libby a little bit about this before, and she has some very defined views on this, but I have to say it's disgraceful, really disgraceful. Look, two guys escape, and you punish the people and severely punish them. If the Times story is true, and I'm assuming it is, this is the New York Times after all, if it's true and you are beating up people extra legally, taking them into broom closets and beating the hell out of them just in retribution, when in fact the guards were amongst those who did not do their work. If they had gone into the cells, if they had looked behind the beds, if they had seen the open space in the wall, but instead they're so embarrassed that they're beating up on these inmates right now, and they're transferring them to other prisons. They're taking their privileges away. You have a story in, I believe it was the Times, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that the governor himself was walking down the hall and said something about no noise, looking at the prisoners. You know, this is a bad scene, and I know it's true. This morning, I shouldn't tell this story, but this morning I was on the air. I do this for them because they play our programs down in Westchester County, and the regular guy who interviews me every Wednesday morning wasn't there, and another guy gets on, and I bring this thing up first, outraged, and he says, "Well, you know, I'm not sure I believe the Times story," says this guy, and then he says, pause, "I was a CO for 30 years. He says, "I was a CO for 30 years.
Corrections officer.
Yeah, right. Corrections officer for 30 years. And yeah, it happens." But he said, "Yeah, it happens. And people who break the law should be prosecuted," he adds on. But I was offended by that. Look, these people are the people of the dregs of society. They're lawbreakers, the people who are in the cells. They don't have constituent groups. There are a few, but, you know, for the most part, they're not protected. This is a bad thing.
New York Times vets their stories very well.
Sure.
And you know, legendarily so. But is it possible that inmates might have an axe to grind and might be doing this?
I doubt it.
I really do.
I really do doubt that. This is like, welcome to Guantanamo Bay in the North Country. They were talking about waterboarding. They put a plastic bag over some of these guys' heads.
Allegedly.
You know, I don't think it's alleged.
Well, certainly, it's alleged.
But some of the reporters even saw the black and blue and saw how beat up these guys were. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this is a clear case of projection. These COs and the guys in the correctional facilities, you know, it's up in Clinton County in Dannemora, feel guilty, angry, and so they screwed up, so they're going to take it out on the most vulnerable among them, which are, in this particular case, the prisoners, because the prisoners can't fight back. If they fight back, it'll make things even worse. And so instead, they just beat on them because of their own incompetence. They slept during the correction officers slept during their shifts.
Inspections.
And didn't make the inspections. Things were incredibly lax. They blame it all on the inmates. But when push comes to shove, it was an inside job with one of their own.
You know, the editor in me has to say that this is alleged at this point. I mean, that needs to be determined. I'm sure there will be all sorts of hearings with these prison guards. But, and you have to have expected that some interviews had to take place inside that prison. What did you know? What did you hear?
Right.
But as a citizen, to hear this kind of violence happening is very disturbing.
You know, Judy Patrick, as a longtime editor, when faced with a story of an explosive nature like this, how many extra miles do you go to make sure the facts are right?
Well, and at this point, you have to say these people are claiming this. This is alleging. We weren't there. Were there cameras there? Were they turned off?
They're wearing body cameras.
Well, they didn't do a very good job if there were cameras there.
The fact of the matter is people got moved, right?
That's true. That's indisputable.
Their personal effects were thrown out.
If they had worked their way up,
lost their privileges.
They lost all of their privileges. Right. There was one guy was making a fair amount of money, you know, on the prison system. They moved him to another prison where he's making the absolute base minimum. You know, Ray, I think you're right to point out that it's alleged. On the other hand, I think this has to be taken extremely seriously. Absolutely. I love the fact that so many newspapers are printing. According to
according
to the New York Times, which they always do when there's a rough story that, you know, is sort of not proven.
Well, they have to. I mean, this is the only place that broke this story.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And according to the New York Times piece, after the Times published the findings, the Corrections Department released a statement saying the inmate complaints had been under investigation for several weeks and referred to the state inspector general. And, of course, any findings of misconduct or abuse against inmates will be punished to the full extent of the law. So we shall see. This is the beginning.
I always love that term, to the full extent of the law.
Right.
And I've been watching it very early in the morning. Now they're putting on Highway Patrol with Broderick.
Oh, right.
And they're always talking about the full extent of the law. Also. Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably get a report from the inspector general, but it will probably be months from now.
Yeah.
So we can talk about this again in the spring.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the ADK Cafe, a delicious kitchen in Keene, New York. Serving home-cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, theadkcafe.com. Shawangunk Wine Trail, new for 2015, the Hudson Valley Wine Tasting Passport, to 14 wineries with mountain views and wine tastings, gunkswine.com for information. The Wild Center, featuring Wild Walk, a high line for the Adirondacks, with treetop views from 1,000 feet of bridges through a living forest, wildcenter.org for details. And the Ashokan Center, a classroom in the wild where nature inspires conferences, festivals, family celebrations, and outdoor education for schools. AshokanCenter.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. All the fun we have, even during
the
break.
Breaks.
Yes. Libby Post is here, Judy Patrick and Alan Shartok, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Alan, we have some email.
Well, we have one email here, and it's from Michael, a regular correspondent. We treasure them all. Prison break. They shouldn't be beaten, but they know nothing? You mean prisoners in the adjacent cells heard nothing? They should be punished. That's from Michael.
Okay, so they then, I mean, here is the horrible situation these guys are in. And yes, they did bad things to be there. I'm not saying they shouldn't be in jail.
No.
But you're in prisons that have their own sense of hierarchy and gangs and snitching and all the rest of that stuff. And so somebody finds out that the guy next door talked to the CO about that breakout, right? Or before it was even happening, he could get shanked in the showers.
Hey.
So people are, you know, afraid for their lives from both their peers as well as the people in charge.
Yeah, you know, I think that's right. And remember one thing that really should occur to anybody following this story. The guys who are being allegedly punished here, according to the New York Times, did not run away. They did not escape. So now they're getting this terrible thing. If this is true, they take them in a broom closet and they beat them.
Right.
And they didn't go. So exactly how does this make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. They're not the ones who broke out. And, you know, the idea, this is a maximum security prison. the idea that they were able to do this without the guards hearing. Okay, so don't blame the inmates. Where were the guards? They didn't hear this cutting. They didn't hear any of this.
Agreed on that point. However, put yourself in the place of someone, and I'm not, first of all, these allegations have not been proven. Second of all, I would never justify this in any way. But put yourself in the people who are trying to find two escaped murderers in the immediate hours afterwards.
Well, then certainly waterboard them or the hell out
not
of them
saying
or put
that.
Them in a room. That's certainly right. This is sarcasm for the few people who don't get sarcasm.
Yeah, and you're so that's smooth and dry at it.
So
it's like a sledgehammer to the head. Well done.
but did they ask you for directions to Florida? They could be asking, you know, do you know where they might be headed?
Not justifying anything alleged here in this article, but there is a certain amount of urgency when hours earlier, two escaped murderers are gone.
That's correct. Okay, so you break the law in order to get the information. That's worth it, right? You take the suspect's head, and you put it, because a kid has been kidnapped, law and order. And you put the suspect's head in the toilet till he talks, right?
Well, again, you're not listening, but that's okay.
What do you mean I'm not listening?
You're not listening to anything said. You're just listening to your own attempt to attack those on the panel and myself.
I'm not attacking anybody on the panel except for you, because I think your logic
is misplaced.
Oh.
You're not listening, because I'm saying nothing could be justify if what they said is true, the prisoners said is true. Nothing could justify that. However, all I'm saying is there is a certain amount of urgency.
Yes, that's true.
So questioning people, I mean...
We're not talking about questioning people. We're talking about beating the hell out of them in the broom closet.
Right, questioning is one thing, but beating them up, almost waterboarding them, putting plastic bags over their heads, is a different story.
Are you listening?
We're all agreed on that. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. So getting back to the question about vetting a story this huge, do you take an extra step, Judy Patrick, as an editor? Do you say, we need more than two verifications on this stuff?
And these are allegations, too. I mean, the really safe way is to wait until the Inspector General report comes out, but that's a year from now. You need to get this information out there. But you also need to get really solid response from the prison and the prison officials. You're not going to get that at this point because they're kind of shut down and they're saying, oh, we're investigating it. Well, I'm surprised they got the information that they did get for this story.
Well, it is the New York Times. I don't know who else could have done it. But let's assume for a second that this is all correct. The very fact that the Times publishes this article, and we don't wait for the IG...
This becomes
part of the narrative, part of the process.
Right, but the point, I think, is still that these are allegations. If proves true, they are very serious indictment of our prison system. They need to be investigated, but we have to keep in mind, again, that they are... allegations that there was no camera recording this. That's what you have to, when you read a story like that, keep that in mind. Again, it's a very well-written story, very, very compelling information. I think we're arguing here about the degree of the extent of the questioning. We all think that probably needed to happen. But if they were putting people's heads in toilets and flushing them, I know that's a Law and Order example, but we don't like that. Our society does not approve of that.
Well, and Eric says, urgency is the same argument made to justify the abuse of suspected terrorists. Well, indeed, and somebody has raised that here today already. William writes and says, Rosemary predicted these attacks would occur. So I just want you
Who's
to know.
Who's Rosemary?
She drops in from time to time.
Oh, that one.
And Irene says, what does Irene say? I don't know. Irene says
Good
something,
night.
But it won't.
Easy one, yeah.
Well played.
Irene says, Dear Roundtable, I'm stunned that the beatings and other forms of retribution occurred only because the authorities should have anticipated the guards would act in this way and warned the staff that such actions were not acceptable. Those in charge of the prison system, wardens, etc., should be held accountable. Well, I think a lot of people have been fired already.
So that's an interesting point, though.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. And George says, you know, torture does not work as a way of extracting reliable information. The Army learned that long ago. Prison officials need to learn it. If the COs beat the prisoners looking for information, they are criminals and need to be tried, convicted, and imprisoned themselves. And John says, okay, I listen to hear people that are smarter than I am, and I know, and who know more than I do. Here's the but. Arguing between yourselves and talking over one another is boring. I don't know that we talk over each other, but I do know that we argue, and that's the principle of the program. That's what we do. So long. Okay, what do you got?
Is he saying so long?
Or no, I said so long. Okay. So long. Next. Okay. And Robert says, Ray, torture doesn't work. Didn't work for the CIA.
Who's defending torture? I'm not defending torture.
Didn't work for the CIA. Didn't work for the COs. Stop suggesting that circumstances can justify its use.
Did I? No, I did not. You're not a partial. You're not.
Yeah. No, I don't think you.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, the editor, for going along with that.
I think he's taking the position that questioning was appropriate and there was some sense of urgency. I think the devil's in the detail here, what extent that questioning took. Although it sounds like there was more than just questioning going on. It was just like they were annoyed, angry at the prisoners.
Yeah, when does it get over the line? Now, Luke says, prisoner abuse is grossly underreported in mainstream press. People in prison are still people. They have rights. They have feelings. They have families. If the same abuse happened in any other environment in the United States, we would not stand for it. Well, I don't know about that. And we certainly would not be doubting 70-plus written complaints by abused witnesses and a New York Times article, the prison system oversees the prison system. There are no checks and balances in their power. Okay.
The email address once again is roundtable@wamc.org. We have to break here and then we'll get back to it. And we love your emails. We'll read more of them and tackle some more topics after the news. Oh, that's nice bass. Hopper, who's that bass player? We got to find out. It's the Roundtable on WAMC, 9:33 on a Wednesday morning. It's the Roundtable panel, and what a rollicking good time we've had thus far. WAMC's Alan Chartok, the Daily Gazette's Judy Patrick, and political consultant Libby Post. And for once, Libby, you are the most centrist and balanced person in the whole room. It's amazing.
Really?
No, not really.
I didn't think
the
so.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, we have email.
Oh, we do. From Ken. No video, no crime. Without pictures or video, a la Abu Ghraib, you have no provable harm and no crime. Post Abu Ghraib, why do you think the CIA destroyed the waterboarding videos, even though court ordered and secure and preserve all video evidence, unless we torture, threaten the COs with waterboarding, and so the ugly dissent continues? That's from Ken. And Rachel says, before we assume the time zone, is correct, asked Hillary Clinton. The Times reported that she was under federal investigation.
Criminal.
True. Yeah. And when the campaign showed this was not true, the Times wouldn't even print a full correction and apology. True. Good point, Rachel. Thank you for that. And Mike and Chris say, I know this is late. I couldn't get this yesterday. EPA's accident with toxic mine waste is inexcusable, but why do we accept a scenario where a taxpayer-funded entity, EPA, is responsible for cleaning up a mess made by a private business? I'm certain a fortune was made, and then the mess is walked away from. Capitalism, in other words, profits above all, is killing this planet. We're going to go there, right, Ray?
I was going to ask a question about that. Why was it necessary to clean that mine up? In other words, you can make an argument that the PCBs at the bottom of the Hudson, though at the bottom, were necessary to dredge.
Right.
But and I have not the answer to this, so I'm asking a legitimate question, not a rhetorical question. Anyone, why do you need to clean that mine up if it's already closed?
The answer is I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's similar. The PCBs at the bottom of the Hudson years and years ago, the reason they got in the bottom of the Hudson downstream so far is because they were all behind a dam up in Fort Edward, and the dam dislodged, and then they offloaded downstream, causing a much larger environmental problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are a few more letters.
Okay, sir. All right,
here we go. From Daniel, the individuals in need of extensive questionings are not prison inmates, but those responsible for prison security who miserably failed at their job to keep prisoners in prison, and that's from Daniel. And from Mao, Alan, you're suggesting that those on the honor block prisoners should not have had their higher paying jobs taken away and that they have earned these privileges. The only thing they have earned is a stay in prison and loss of rights and privileges that they forfeited when they committed felonies that landed them in a maximum security prison. Just the idea there is an honor block where they can wear civilian shirts is ridiculous. Put them in prison garb to protect the citizens that have not committed felons. No, beating them is not acceptable. Neither is calling their earning better jobs their right. Look, there are ways that you keep a prison system in check. That's my answer to you. You give out these honors for reasons, which is that if you're in prison for the rest of your life or much of your life, and you create this sort of a sense of a community, you're ahead of the game. That's my only answer to that. Colleen says, go, Ray. Boring, not the least. The only thing that would be boring would be if you were in all agreement all the time. Would love to see a two-hour show with maybe five panelists or someone from the right conservative side. I enjoy hearing all sides, says Colleen. And Fitzhugh says, dear Roundtable, the mine was full of water and a hazard that the contractors and EPA were trying to mitigate.
Thank you for answering that question.
That's right. That's right. And then
Libby got an email too, you know.
She did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was yours?
From Sheila, who says she read the New York Times article online last night. Atrocious listening to us on WAMC. Totally agree. Folks are wondering how far up the chain this goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I mentioned that here was Cuomo walking down the cell block.
That's right.
Looking at somebody in a nearby cell and saying to the guy, you heard nothing or something like that. I mean, talk about
and doing the death stare.
Yeah, right. Okay. And Steve says, my dear friend now passed sometimes said, wada, warden, in a snaky voice. I never understood exactly what that meant, but it must apply here. And Patrick says, how can members of the panel call the man Roof, who shot up a church in South Carolina, alleged, and the corrections officer not called alleged? I think we've made that point about four times a year that this is alleged, especially when one of your panel members went in air saying she was rooting for the escaped convicts with a sense of excitement and rooting for the underdog during the search. That was not anybody here today, but it was somebody. Rosemary. Okay, she did. She got a lot of mail on that. Alan says, Robert, you do not listen and you do not let others finish their thoughts.
Hear, hear.
And Stephen says, yesterday, Bush criticized Obama and Hillary for chaos in the Middle East. Irony? Much. Yeah, it's a good story. It really is. Jeb is now out there saying that instead of his brother who brought, you know, said there were weapons of mass destruction and brought the whole thing in, that somehow this was on their plates, the Democrats' plates.
Well, there's clearly a lot of blame to go around, that's for sure.
Okay. And Charles says, gentlemen, let's keep it nice.
What,
it is alleged.
What are we, chop liver? We're gentlemen.
All right, people, gentle folk.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I'm very angry about that. Good folk. Let's keep it nice. It is alleged. Governor, I love the spotlight. We'll be all over this. And this, as the son of a CO, I can tell you there are many upstanding COs who would never stand for this behavior.
Right, you are.
And that's from Charles, and he is absolutely right about that. Yep, that's
is that
true.
It?
Okay. Libby, clear your throat. You sound like Marge Simpson.
Okay, I'll try really hard.
I love Marge's voice.
Yeah. You know?
And then, I always thought that Rosemary sounded a little like
Lisa
Simpson. Do you notice that too? Yeah.
Somebody wrote I was one of the Simpsons, but I forget what.
It's a high pollen count. Yeah. You know, it just is.
You're right. Take Benadryl before the show. It'll
I
help
take
you sleep.
Everything.
Really?
Yes, before the show.
Okay, so one more here from Mark. Good morning, panel. First, we cracked down on police shootings and brutality, and now we are cracking down on corrections officers beating up on inmates. Panel, if we keep this up, there won't be any careers left for people with power trips.
Oh, we should only be so lucky.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Judy Patrick is the editor of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady, and oh boy, you got a good one today.
Yeah, this Constitution Pipeline, which is going to bring natural gas from Pennsylvania through New York State into New England and apparently into foreign markets, got its federal approval. And yesterday there was a big protest down at the state capitol or at the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation Building, trying to encourage them to put a moratorium on these final water permits that this pipeline needs before it can go forward. In fact, the protesters would like the DEC to take the same kind of position on this pipeline and other kind of pipeline-related accessories like compressor stations that they did to fracking. And as you remember, they studied fracking for a few years and then finally came out with a decision not to allow fracking in New York State. So this pipeline, there are a lot of pipelines that are coming through New York or are being proposed for New York, and it's becoming an increasingly important issue. There are people who are upset because their land is being taken for this pipeline to be built, and you know, going across farmland, trees are being cut. People say it will provide jobs during the construction, and the Constitution Pipeline people say it's very important because it helps reduce our dependence on coal-fired heating.
Okay. As a transitional, a bridge energy, as they say. So this is about a 120-mile pipeline. It'll carry natural gas from Pennsylvania through New York to Canada.
Or into New England, I think, and it goes to foreign markets, correct?
Right.
And they're saying there will be a few places where New York State people can suck some natural gas out, but it's not in generally being delivered to New York State. So that's one of the arguments against it.
It has already received federal approval.
Correct.
And so now it needs state approval.
Correct,
which is a very good point, Ray. We live in a federal system, meaning divided sovereignty. In other words, there's the feds and there's the state. And the fact is, from the very beginning, President Obama has been for fracking, and I mean, you can look, if you want to look the other way, look the other way, but he has, and he has been for the delivery of energy one way or the other. So now you have the feds doing one thing, and you have pressure on the state to put a halt to it. Just wanted to sort of explain that.
So what's next with this, Judy?
So the decision from the state was expected in July, and as we all know, it's August, so we're expecting this decision any day, and so work on this construction, you know, it could be months, but...
It did take a little longer on the whole fracking thing in New York, so...
Right, so the decision, I think this is the final decision, and then they could really move forward with construction on it. Natural gas is, you know, increasingly becoming a popular way of heating people's houses or energy use. It's, you know, but...
Until we, like, go totally solar or totally wind or totally water, you know, non-fossil fuel based thing, you know, we don't want I certainly don't want the oil trains running above ground. We don't want the pipelines running below ground. Not that I'm in favor of any of this, but it raises the question of how are we going to get the resources we need to heat our homes, you know, and drive the economy, because natural gas does provide the ability to do things. So, you know, so it's this quandary that we're in. My thing is this, doing it by eminent domain, if they are going to take this land, they have to pay the people. They have to pay the people,
how
even
much?
Though they know they need to pay them market rate, maybe even plus 10% for the land, because they're going to make an oodles of money on this once the pipeline's complete and they start exporting the natural gas.
Are you through? Because I don't want to step on you.
Oh,
as
no,
I've been
go right ahead.
Of doing. Okay, so there is a question here, which is, as Ray brought up, however inadvertently, there is a question as to whether this natural gas, which I use, is being delivered to us, or it's being delivered to foreign countries.
Well, that's the issue. They've been very clear. This is gas that's going to go to foreign markets, just like if we were to, like the oil trains, but they're just above ground. That oil is going different places. It's not all being used here in New York. Just like products that are shipped across the country via our highway system. And they end up on a barge and go across the ocean to a different economy. I mean, we live in a capitalist system. Not that I'm saying it's the right thing, but that's the reality of the situation.
And also, you can look at this from a NIMBY perspective, not in my backyard, but our backyard is New York State. I mean, if natural gas is going to a foreign market, okay, then they're using less coal-fired fuel. So maybe the air over there is better, which will eventually get to us, and so our air will be better. Maybe we should all think about these things from a global perspective.
No, using natural gas in China might not be a bad idea, considering what it's like to go there.
And considering the fact that they've just lowered the price of the yuan.
Right. That used to be called the yen, right, before we got politically correct?
Yen is a Japanese. Oh, that's, yuan okay. is
yuan,
a Chinese.
Okay.
Yuan
is Chinese. I'm sure you'll get plenty of letters on that one.
No, not at all. They also call it the renminbi
if you're scoring
at home.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story. The international stock market sank today again as China let its currency fall for a second day following a surprise devaluation that rattled global financial markets. Futures point to opening losses on Wall Street. Benchmark U.S. crude oil slipped to just above $43 a barrel. The dollar fell against the yen and the euro. China's currency fell further today following a surprise change in its exchange rate mechanism. And already both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill are checking in. They're checking in, and many not happy, both conservatives and liberals on Capitol Hill not happy about this. And there are those who say China has been manipulating currency for a long time.
Yeah.
They're saying this is very innocuous. They want to make their currency more freely depending on the market. And this is just a mere temporary adjustment.
And if you believe that, I have this great bridge that goes between Manhattan and Brooklyn that I want to give to you.
Oh, how much? How many wands?
You know, as a consumer, I was my first reaction is, oh, great, all that cheap Chinese stuff I buy is going to be even cheaper. But then you have to look at the idea that big American companies who export products to China are going to see their revenue fall, and it will have an impact on employment.
And, and all those cheap Chinese products that you buy, the people are paid bupkis to make those products.
Well, I feel even worse.
Chuck Schumer weighing in, and this from the Washington Post. For years, China has rigged the rules and played games with its currency, leaving American workers out to dry. Rather than changing their ways, the Chinese government seems to be doubling down. Donald Trump apparently in agreement with Schumer on this.
There is that business about a dictatorship. The Chinese may pretend they don't have a dictatorship, but they do. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Communist Party calls the shots. We don't have fights between Republicans and Democrats and two houses of Congress and a president over there. They decide that they're going to screw the rest of the world by lowering the yuan. They're going to do it. And believe me, it's in their own, they see it as their own self-interest because they have this terribly faltering economy, which is failing right now. And they're punting.
But the growth is down.
That's what I mean.
I mean, it grew 7% year over year for the first quarter, which is the lowest in 7 or 8 years.
And we'd be jumping up and down if our economy grew at 7%.
Right, you are. All right, let's take a break. It is 9:49 on the Roundtable panel. Email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Old Castle Theater Group, downtown Bennington, Vermont, presenting Black Comedy by Peter Schaefer, an enlightening farce that begins when the lights go out, August 21st through September 6th, oldcastletheater.org for tickets. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
Good stuff. It's the Roundtable panel on WAMC. See, we don't have a monitor in here, so you didn't hear the real hip music that Dave Hopper played for us.
But they hear me saying my thing?
No.
Oh, good.
Nope. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Before we move on, anything in the mailbag, Uncle Alan?
Okay, so Steve says, let's chalk up another one for corporate profits, as this is primarily to benefit sales to the overseas market. Wake me when we get a break, too. When we get a break, too. And that's from Steve.
Okay. Hillary Rodham Clinton, relenting to months of demands that she give up the personal email server she used while Secretary of State. The Democratic presidential candidate now directing that the server be given to the Justice Department. As of this morning, it hadn't been delivered yet. There was also a thumb drive, which has been delivered. And the I'll tell you what, this has been going on for so long, and now it's really in the heart of the campaign for president.
Part of the matter.
And so When does this end, and does it end well for Hillary Clinton?
Well, let me just start by saying it's one thing when the Republicans demand you give them evidence and other things. It's another when the Federal Bureau of Investigation asks you for something, and they have here. And that's from the Democratic Justice Department. So you could hardly yell that it's the Republicans doing this onslaught. Now, if they get it out of the way, but that's a lot of emails that they have to go through and that they have to read.
Except that. I agree. But then you juxtapose that with the story, the other story today, about John Kerry knowing that the Chinese are reading his emails.
Or at least suspecting strongly,
right.
Yeah.
And he's writing his emails in such a way because he has a very strong suspicion that they are getting access to it. And he's using the State Department, computers and networks. So it's, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. She tried to, you know, and I'm not trying to be an apologist here, but she did what everybody else was doing. Colin Powell did it. Madeleine Albright did it. And now John Kerry isn't doing it, and his emails are totally at risk because the system isn't strong enough.
But doesn't that further damn Hillary Clinton? In other words, if the her successor says, well, gosh, I'm concerned that the Chinese and the Russians are reading my emails through official channels and official servers, then what does that say about somebody who has their own server and the Inspector
that
General?
That probably has better security on it.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, really. They weren't going to go. They look for the U.S. servers. They look for the government servers first.
We don't know that. We don't know that. And I would suspect that if Hillary Clinton has a private email operation, a server, they're going to find it. These guys are going to find it also. But I do think, Libby, that the problem with the argument, and it never works, is a million people cheat on their taxes. If you cheat on your taxes, and there's a law that you can't cheat on your taxes, they got you.
But there was never a law about this.
There is a law. Apparently, there is a law that says or a rule or a law that says you have to do this. Yeah.
Well, David Petraeus was found guilty of having classified stuff on his home computer.
And he gave it to his
reporter.
There are certain parallels anyway to this. Now, the intelligence community's inspector general, his name is Charles McCullough, said that he did a sample of 40 emails from this server, five of which, in this very limited sampling, contained classified information. Now, the real question is, was it classified when then?
Right.
But that's only 40 emails. How many emails are in there? And if that is 1/8 of what he found out of the 40, there could be a lot of classified stuff in there.
What do you think Joe Biden is thinking this morning?
I think he thinks he's at 9%.
You know, this has really dragged down her campaign. I thought it was a flash in the pan, but it just has held in there. And I'm surprised she didn't deal with this up front right away.
Well, how can you deal with it if...
Just give now,
look,
emails.
Look,
give
I like Hillary Clinton,
she
but...
she did turn it all over.
Yeah, well, me too.
What if she... What
they
if
asked her in March, and now deleted her personal emails that had nothing to do with the Secretary of the Department of State, and then turned over all the rest, but now giving the server to investigators.
Because they don't believe her.
I don't know.
Why would they ask for the server if they were confident that they, you know, she's giving them what they need?
In the political context of all this, now we have Bernie Sanders, who is now ahead of Hillary in the New Hampshire race.
Right.
So he's drawing thousands of people.
25,000 people out in the West Coast.
Early on in the campaign, every political pundit said he has no chance.
Not every.
Does he have a chance?
Yeah.
You think he has a chance?
I have always thought that anything could catch fire. Now, if Hillary fades, and it's an open thing. The problem for Bernie Sanders is, what are people thinking? Not in New Hampshire or, you know, Iowa, but what are they thinking in Middle America about Bernie Sanders? That's the problem.
Well, that's Iowa.
Well, yes, it's Iowa, but that for Schlugana,
you
know,
can't
system.
But you go by the Iowa caucuses because that's the diehard Democrats. So
I just
really
wonder
about the middle of the country. He's not going to be able to move center enough for people because he will open him up for incredible criticism by the Republicans.
Well, we don't know. I mean, I think they're praying it's going to be Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Because
just as the Democrats are praying it's Donald Trump.
That's right.
Sorry, I meant I mentioned them again.
And one of the things that might happen is you might have this incredible election, Donald Trump versus versus Bernie Sanders.
Wow, God.
And where does the middle class go then?
I think Bernie Sanders is popular in part because he is almost like Donald Trump. In fact, because he's offering the American public a sense of change. I mean, sure, he's an established politician, but he's kind of an out there established politician.
Yeah, but he's a man of substance. He is not. First of all, I've never heard, and I've interviewed him probably hundreds of times, I've never heard him crack anything like a joke.
You know, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. He's a serious fellow. But I don't think you can compare him, Judy, fairly to Trump, who talks about women's menstruation, which is very different. What? Did I do something wrong?
No, continue.
Why do you have your hand on your head?
No, please.
On your head?
We almost got through the show. Go ahead.
Well, but Judy said it, and it deserves a very good answer, or at least an attempt.
Well, I think you can compare them because I think they're very popular right now, and in fact, I think they're popular because they're appealing to a part of things in America that established politicians are not delivering.
Does that say that Americans have, by and large, have finally had it with the mainstream?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah?
We'll see.
Okay. You're pointing at your device, so I assume you have an email. The email is roundtable@wamc.org. We have a minute or two.
Sue says, have any of you read the book Rust, The Endless War? The author talks about the Alaskan pipeline, how a lot of the revenue goes to pay the citizens and of Alaska, and then it's a longer letter, but I can't read it all. Answer to Libby, Copenhagen, Denmark, northern latitude major city is currently, in other words, right now at 40% renewable. All right, we
great.
Got that.
Fair enough.
Let's
and
go there.
Justin says, thank you. First, thank you, Ray Graff, for being one of the best, most reasonable voices on WMC, and a guy with a great sense of humor. Second, a clarification, the Times was not the first to report the Clinton correctional story. Channel 12 Action News did that last month.
Interesting. Okay, good.
And then it goes on and on. We see you have to keep them short because you can't keep them short. You can't.
Right, and we only have 30 seconds left. So.
Right, and Rick says, New England has the highest electricity costs in the country. The pipeline against New York State will help lower our cost of generating electricity. Hooray for the pipeline, says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay. And burnt gas fracked in Pennsylvania and Asia, and reasoning that cleaner air from Asia justifies continuing heating of the environment, destroying water system here via this pipeline in New York and fracking in Pennsylvania? Question mark. Speaking of tortured. All right. And that's like that.
Okay, we're done?
Yeah, well, we're not. But
all right,
I have one more. Okay.
All right, very quickly.
Chris says, Libby rightly asks, how are we going to heat our homes as long as we are dependent on fossil fuel? Obviously, this is not just a rhetorical question. The oil train danger and the fracking danger means we really need to pay attention to where our energy comes from, and we need to ask, why are we not going solar right now? I tried to get solar panels on the top of the Shardock house. The guy came, he looked, he said, too many trees in the way.
Yeah, you got to cut all the trees down, and that'll increase your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're done.
It's a zero-sum game no matter how you look at it.
And we'll leave it on that. Pithy quote from Libby Post. You can email us, roundtable@wamc.org. Thanks to Alan Shartok, Judy Patrick, and Libby Post. Hour number 2 coming up.